ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। Hello everybody. We have seen so far in this chapter, Bhagwan started off explaining what is the world, Jagat, Ashwatha yet Avyaya, it is changing, and yet the one who sees the unchanging substratum is the actual knower of the Vedas. He explained the world having many, many branches and having kept, being kept alive by our own actions, because we do actions for which results come, and those results have to be experienced, and so there has to be more and more worlds to be experienced. And then he went on to explain the experiencer. So first it was the experienced and then the experiencers. So who is the one that is living in this world? Who is the one that is doing all the actions? Who is the one that is enjoying the fruits of the actions? Is the jiva. And he started off saying that this jiva is nothing but a part of me. And then what he does is, because of his vasanas, he takes birth in different bodies and he attracts the sense organs and the bodies to him. Why? Because without the sense organs and without the body, he cannot enjoy. How will he experience? If he wants to see something, he needs eyes. If he wants to hear something, he needs ears. So with that in mind, he attracts and he takes birth in a body which he thinks will... I shouldn't even say he. Jiva is actually neither he nor she. Please understand, it is only the body which is he or she. So this jiva takes up a body which he thinks, in this body I will be able to exhaust all my vasanas. That's what is his thinking and or her thinking. And then he takes up a female body or a male body or whatever body, or an animal body or a plant body, any body, and goes through the experiences in that body. And when he feels, when he knows, when he thinks that, okay, this body is no longer of any use to me, he discards the body and he leaves in search of another body. Because in this body, to fulfill the previous vasanas, he has created more and more desires, more and more vasanas. And thus the cycle of transmigration keeps on going. Then Bhagwan went on to explain, sarvasya chaham, then his vibhutis he explained. Bhagwan said, if you can't, if you're not that subtle minded, then look outside. If you're looking outside, look at my vibhutis, my manifestations. These are my manifestations. And he started with the sun, which is very far away, and he came right up to our heart. So from the sun and the moon and the fire, then to the earth, Gama Vishecha Bhutani, I am the power in the earth, and then into the plants as well, and then in the stomach as Vaishvanara, and then from the stomach into the heart. So last was sarvasya cha aham sannivishtaha. Sarvasya, all the beings, not just humans, humans, animals, plants, inert matter, all the beings, I stay in their heart. Okay. And therefore we explain the meaning of aham. The aham, the one who is very foolish, vimudaha, thinks of the aham as the gross body. things. When he says I, he's referring to his gross body. The one who is referring to the gross body is the Visheshena Mudha. The one who is referring to I, to the Jiva as I, that is where we are, seekers in between, we are Mudha, foolish. That we think that this I is this Jiva, I am going to experience, I am going to enjoy, I am going to do, but I don't think it is the body, I think it is the Jiva, and that is Mudha. And Amudha is one who knows that he is the substratum. He is neither the experiencer, nor is he the experienced. That is Amudaha. So the aham here, sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishtaha, aham refers to the supreme reality. It is the absolute reality. And therefore, Bhagavan says that this aham is responsible for smriti, jnana, and apohanam. Smriti, dream, jnana is waking state, and apohanam is forgetfulness, which is the deep sleep state. So I am responsible for the all the three. Means I support. I support means what? Because of me, you are going through these states. I am the one that is supporting the waking. This is our, that is how our, what my understanding right now is, I am the waker. I am the dreamer. I am the one who dreamt whatever last night. And I am the one who had a nice deep sleep. He says, no, that is not the aham. That is Jiva. So aham, the final aham is the one who is allowing you to become the waker, allowing you to become the dreamer, allowing you to become the deep sleeper. So that is the substratum, and that is what is supporting all the three states. And through the Vedas, it is only this aham that we should know, that aham, not form of Krishna, not Krishna, that aham, which is the supreme substratum, which is the supreme consciousness, should be known through all the Vedas. The author of the Vedas is me. I have done, not Krishna. Once again, it's that aham. Therefore, the meaning of the word aham has to be very, very clear in this verse 15. It is the supreme substratum from which these Vedas have come. And then he himself is the knower. One connotation is, of course, he has authored it. So whatever he has authored, he will know. But the other connotation is that he is the teacher as well as he is the disciple. So both teacher and taught are him, are being supported by that final aham. And then he starts the topic of the third topic, Jiva Jagat and Ishwara, his own. Who is this aham, this final substratum? That is what he's explaining. And to explain that, he starts off saying that dvau imau purushau loke, in this world, loke, in this world, there are two purushas. There is one which is akshara purusha, one which is an akshara purusha. I explained to you, there is one who is a daughter Jaya and one who is a mother Jaya. Jaya is the same, but depending on the upadhi, she becomes a mother or then she becomes a daughter. So depending on the upadhi of the children, she's a mother. Depending on the upadhi of the parents, she's a daughter. Same way, depending on the upadhi, this purusha becomes kshara purusha or akshara purusha. What is kshara? That which is changing, that which is decaying, and that is this body, mind, intellect, avidya. That is one aspect of it, avidya. And then what is akshara is maya, as in comparison. Okay, in comparison, it is not, that's why in the next verse, Bhagavan is going to say what is actually finally akshara, he will explain. But in comparison to Jiva, the Ishwara is akshara, is more permanent, all pervading, sarva shaktiman, etc. Just like, you know, the ant is there, the ant lives probably for 100 days, but the elephant lives for 100 years. So the ant will think that elephant is eternal. So ant becomes kshara and elephant is akshara in comparison to the ant. Okay, because that ant is going to be dying really soon in a few days, whereas the elephant is going to. So ant thinks, whoa, you know, or even ant thinks, whoa, man, this elephant is so huge. Okay, in comparison. So this kshara, and the reason it is called purusha, because the kshara, the decaying, also is being supported by purusha, just like the daughter is being supported by Jaya. If Jaya is not there, there will not be a daughter, there will not be a mother. So both mother and daughter is being supported by Jaya. Same way, both Kshara and Akshara is being supported by the supreme substratum, Purusha. And that's why it is called Kshara Purusha. That doesn't mean that this final substratum is becoming Kshara, decaying. It's the Upadhi which is decaying. It is the Upadhi which is changing. And because of that, it is known as Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha. Okay? If you take the hierarchy, I had explained that in case of Jagat also. So if you take the Jiva, then the Jiva with the body is Kshara Purusha. Why? Because body is Kshara. Body is Kshara. So when this Jiva is identified with the body, it is known as Kshara Purusha. When it disidentifies with the body, it will become Akshara Purusha. Because it is a part, Mama Eva Ausha Jiva. It is a part of the supreme substratum. So, but as long as we are identified, as long as this Jiva is an identification means what? I think that I am so tall, I am beautiful, I'm not beautiful, I'm intelligent, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm this, I'm that, I'm doing, I will enjoy. As long as I have these, that's why it's, Vedanta is only a shift in vision. So as long as I'm thinking like that, I'm Kshara Purusha. And when I stop thinking like that, and when I say I am a witness of all these things that is happening, I become the Akshara Purusha. I only become. There is only me. There is nobody else. Okay. So Kshara Sarvani Bhutani. So all the Bhuta, it's all the beings are Kshara. Who is the decaying? All the being, all the bodies, everything, the world. I told you the entire world, which includes our body, is Kshara. And then Kutastha Akshara. The Akshara is the Kutastha. Kutastha, Kuta is 2-3 different meanings, I told you. One is the hub, that which just doesn't change, or one that is wrongly understood. And that's what we are doing. Actually, we are Kutastha. Actually, we are Kutastha. We are the witness. But I wrongly understand myself to be the experiencer. And therefore, I go through likes and dislikes and joys and sorrows and up and down and depression, elation, all these things I'm going through because of that. Okay? So, what? Just like we studied in Tattvamasi, if we reject both upadhis, what remains is the pure consciousness. And that is what now he's going to say in verse 17. Uttamah purushastvanyaha paramatmetyudarutaha yo lokatrayama vishya bibhartavyaya ishvaraha. But this tu word is there. Uttamah purushaha tu anyaha. That is the break of that word. And tu means but in Sanskrit. So, but distinct is the supreme Purusha. Again, that Purusha word remains same. Okay, see that. Distinct, excuse me, is the supreme Purusha called the highest self, the indestructible Lord, who pervading the three worlds, waking, dream, and deep sleep, sustains them. So what Bhagavan is now saying, in the previous verse, he said there are two Purushas, Kshara, Akshara, but yes, there is Kshara and Akshara Purusha, but beyond these two, there is the Uttama Purusha. Uttama. See this Uttama word, we have seen this before. We have good, better, best. In English, we have good, the superlative, you know, good, better. So there is Kshara, which is Utta. Ut is Kshara. Uttara is Akshara and Uttama is the final, which is beyond both Kshara, Akshara, beyond good, better, best. Good, best is beyond good and better. It's the highest. That way, this Uttama Purusha is better, is higher, is subtler than Ut and Uttara. Ut is Kshara Purusha, Uttara is Akshara Purusha, and now this is the Uttama Purusha. Okay, Anyaha, other than these two. So it's, this is why he's distinguishing it. That understand that there are these two. We have seen this idea in chapter 7 and 13. Para, apara, prakruti, he said. And then he said, I'm beyond para and apara. He said, kshetra, kshetrajna, and I'm beyond both. So that's what he's repeating again here. He's explaining in this chapter. And then and he is known udarataha. This udarata is said iti. So there is paramatma iti udarata. That is the break of that last word in the first line. So there is iti, this paramatma, which is the uttama purusha, this paramatma is called as the uttama purusha. Okay, who is called as paramatma. So now this is the highest. And what does this paramatma do? Yo lokatrayam avishya entered. Literal meaning of avishya is entered. Now three lokas can be interpreted, Gurudev has said, waking, dream and deep sleep. Perfect. That's not an issue at all. So entered, either you take waking, dream, deep sleep, or you can also take heaven, earth and hell. You can take it as that, interpret. Or you can take it as sattva, rajas, tamas. Three worlds can be the world of knowledge, jnana shakti, which is sattva, activity, dynamism, which is rajas, and then inertia, which is tamas. So this three also, all these are being pervaded. So avishya entered. Entered word should not be taken as literally entering, because paramatma is all pervading. How he can enter anywhere? It is like, you know, you can say you build a house and then you can't say space entered the house. Already there was space. That's why only you could build the house. So how you can say space entered the house? Space cannot enter the house. That way, paramatma is not physically entering. What he's doing is he's supporting the three states. So the waking state is being supported by that substratum. That's what I was telling you. We think that I am the waker. When I say I am supporting the waking state, I am awake, I'm referring to the jiva. And what Bhagwan is saying here is that no, I as that supreme substratum. Why? Because if that supreme substratum was not there, could there have been a reflection? That is why. So that's why he says that if anything that you see in this waking world, dream world, deep sleep world, I am the one that is supporting it. That's why that is the significance also of meditation on Om. A Oma, they represent waking, dream and deep sleep states. And therefore the silence between the two Oms is what Paramatma is. That is Turiya. That is Uttama Purusha. So I support these three, but I am beyond that. Okay. Then sattva, rajas, tamas. I've told you, you can never see the gunas, but you can infer them through their manifestations. Wherever there is knowledge, purity, peace, it is a manifestation of sattva. Where there is dynamism, activity, that is rajas. And where there is inertia, dullness, procrastination, I'll do this tomorrow, do I need to do it right now, etc., etc., then that is a manifestation of tamas. All these three are also because of me. I am the one that is supporting. I have entered them. Entered them means I am supporting them. It is like saying rope has entered the snake. The rope has not entered anywhere, but rope is supporting the snake. It is because of the rope that the snake can be seen. That it is because of this Uttam Purusha that these three states can even happen. Waking, dream and deep sleep, or sattva, rajas, tamas, or heaven, earth and hell, you can take. And then of course it includes all the worlds above and all the worlds below. Bibhartav avyaya ishvara. Bibharti is to support. So avishya, bibharti sustains or supports the indestructible Lord Ishvara. As Ishvara, I support. So when he says this bibharti, I support, it indicates he is the material cause. Because, see, if you say, who is supporting this bangle? Gold is supporting that bangle, na? I mean, if it is of gold, if it is silver, then silver. Whatever material it is, you take a pot. Who is supporting this pot? The clay is supporting that pot. Because if that clay was not there, or if we remove the clay from that pot, will the pot remain? So when he says, Bibharti Avyaya Ishvara, the unchanging Ishvara is supporting this. Because why is he saying using the word Ishvara now? because only Ishwara has got Maya and all the five elements. Uttama Purusha does not have the five elements. But can Ishwara remain without the Uttama Purusha? Cannot. Okay? Ishwara is Akshara Purusha, Avyaya, unchanging also. And as the material cause of this entire world, he supports this entire world, including this body, because the body is also made out of the five elements. You get it? So this Bibharti Avyaya Ishwara indicates he is the material cause of everything. All the three. Okay? Now, Kutastha is the nature. We heard the word Kutastha, and then we also heard in previous verse, Kshara Sarvani Bhutani. Kutastha is the nature of the Akshara Purusha, which is Ishwara. And then Kshara is the nature of all the beings, Kshara. And Uttama Purusha is neither Kshara nor Akshara. Is beyond. Now in the next verse, we will go. Any questions here? The same pure consciousness is being referred to as Kshara Purusha with the upadhi of the body as Jiva. That's why it's Jiva. And Akshara Purusha as Ishwara. Because Ishwara is, like I told you, ant and elephant. As compared to Jiva, Ishwara, because Ishwara also merges. Remember that. Ultimately, Ishwara also is not Akshara that way. Ultimately, it is a superimposition. That's what he's going to say now, next. Okay. But right now, if you understand Jiva Ishwara and then Uttama Purusha to be beyond. And Bhagwan is saying that this Uttama Purusha is supporting the three worlds and sustaining it by becoming the material cause of everything. If you take the material out of something, like there is a plastic chair, if you take the plastic out of it, where that chair will remain? So who is actually sustaining that is the plastic, is the material. So that's why this Bibharti Avyaya Ishwara, and Ishwara word has to be used because Uttama Purusha has no gunas, no prakriti, right? Maya, that's why. All right? Okay, no questions?
Yeah, I just had one question.
Yeah.
When we talk of the triad, there's only one triad, right?
What do you mean there's only one?
When we talk of the I, which is supporting the triad, like the substratum that supports like the pure consciousness, when we talk about that, that is the guru as well as the disciple, right?
When we talk about the triad, and good you brought up the triad, actually this Loka Triad, three worlds, that can also be interpreted as the triad. I told you the triad is very, very valid in the material world. Because in the material world, there is triad is only one triad means what, you know, there is a subject, object, and an experiencing between that. Now, the subject is that you can say experiencer. The object is the experienced. And the experiencing is what is happening between the two. Okay. That is a triad. So that way the triad is only one, but it can be many. Like it can be the seer, color and form, and then the thing. Or the ear, and then sound, and then the hearing. So, but the basic triad is the same. Experiencer, which is the subject. Experienced, which is the object. And the relationship between that subject and object. Unless the subject and object come together, this triad doesn't complete. I've given you the example before. Maybe there is an email sitting in my email box with some good news or some bad news. But until I open that email box and read it, there is no experience. Neither there is an experience of joy nor of sorrow, because the subject and the object have not come in contact with each other. Now, in this case, this look, the one who is supporting the triad is the Uttam Purusha. Because what I think is, I am the one that is supporting the triad. Don't I think that I am the subject? I think that I am the subject. So what Bhagwan is trying to tell us is, the Jiva is the subject, but I am the one that is supporting that Jiva, because that Jiva is a reflection. And without me, a reflection cannot happen. So I am the one that is supporting the triad. and I am beyond the triad. And therefore, man of realization, he the subject-object dichotomy ends for in realization. It ends. Why? Because once you realize yourself to be that substratum, actually nothing else exists without the other than the substratum. There is nothing else other than Brahman. But right now in ignorance, we feel that there are many, many people, many, many worlds. I am there, you are there, she is there, he is there. Friends are there, enemies are there, joys are there, sorrows are there. All these dichotomies that I feel, they are in the field of ignorance. So our thinking, we have to start changing. That is why I told you, learn to think. This is learn to think, not learn to learn, but learn to think. Okay, clear? Yasmat ksharamati toham aksharadapi chottamaha atosmi loke vedecha pratitam purushottamaha. As I transcend the perishable and am even higher than the imperishable, therefore I am declared as the Purushottama, the highest Purusha, Purusha Uttama, that is that word, in the world and in the Vedas. So aham again here is to be understood as the absolute aham. Like I told you, not the gross body aham, not the jiva aham, but the absolute substratum, the final substratum. And so he says, Yasma, therefore, I am beyond, I am even higher than the perishable and the imperishable. So higher meaning, very, very subtle, one, number one meaning. The other interpretation of higher is when he says I am higher, what is to be understood is that whatever is lower is only a superimposition on that higher. Because why superimposition? Because if you say that there is something lower and then there is this Uttama Purusha who is higher, you have limited the Uttama Purusha. Because you're saying there is something higher and then there is something lower here. If both are real, that means they're both limited. Because there is one lower thing here and then one higher thing over here. That this is limited, lower is limited, higher also becomes limited automatically. So therefore, when he says that I am higher than both Akshara and Akshara, it indicates that Kshara and Akshara are only a superimposition on me. Therefore, Ishvara then becomes Kshara. At that point, Ishvara becomes Kshara. Means he will also merge. When the Jiva merges, the Ishvara also will automatically merge. Two examples, I've given you both these examples before. If the team of a team leader is dissolved, there are five individuals in the team, there is a sixth individual who is a team leader, and he is called as a team leader because he has the upadhi of the team. The five people are his upadhis. And because of those five people, he's a team leader. Because suppose all the five people quit and go away or they dissolve the team. Then what team leader or what? What team? He dissolves. The team leader dissolves. That way, the Ishvara, the individuality, individuals are there in this world. Therefore, there is a totality. Therefore, there is an Ishvara. If all the Jivas were to realize, there is no Ishvara. So all the Jivas don't realize at the same time. But even if one Jiva realizes, for him, Ishvara is no longer there. He is becoming the supreme substratum. It is like the salt doll who wanted to know the depth of the ocean. So she jumped into the ocean, but before she could reach the depth, the final depth, she merged with the ocean. She became infinity. Therefore, Jiva can never become Ishvara. If he tries to become Ishvara, the ultimate result will be substratum. Before he reaches the depth, before he becomes Ishvara, he will realize himself to be the substratum, the Uttama Purusha. So, cha Uttama. So, yasmat aksharam atitoham, atitaham. Atitaha is beyond, higher, subtler. Indicating that whatever I am higher than, they are a superimposition on me. And when we say superimposition, immediately you must understand that the superimposition has no reality. The snake has no real reality. The mirage waters have no real reality. Okay, but they are mithya. They are not false like the horns on a rabbit. Superimposition is not false. It is there because you do experience it at one point. You're walking in the desert in the hot sun. You do think, oh my God, there is a pool of water there. Let me run towards it. You do think, you do experience that water. You do experience the fear when you think you saw the snake. But then after a while, when the light is turned on, the snake disappears and all that remains is a rope. Or when you go near that pool of so-called pool of water, you will see only sand. And therefore mithya and not false, because it is experienced at one point in time. All right. Ataha asmi loke vede cha prathitam purushottamaha. In the world, I am higher even than the Vedas, because why? Vedas have come from me. So who becomes higher? He becomes higher. Chottama. Now, the another meaning of supreme, which I have also explained, but here again, because it is coming that I am atitaha, not only that they are, because they are a superimposition on me, I am not affected in any way by the superimposition. That point also should be understood here. When it is said atitaha, beyond kshara and akshara, both, point number one is both jiva and ishvara are a superimposition on me. All right. Now, does this superimposition affect me? No, it's a superimposition. Does the water wet the sand at any point? Does the snake poison the rope at any point in time? The superimposition can never touch the substratum. Never, ever. And therefore, when Bhagwan says, I'm atita, they are a superimposition on me, means whatever is happening in there doesn't affect me. And that's why the instruction sukha dukha same krutva in Bhagavad Gita. Because sukha dukha is happening in the superimposition. In the superimposition we are seeing. This world is a superimposition. The body is, and in that we feel this joy and sorrow. Therefore, our duty, our sadhana is to remain equanimous. Why? Because the Uttama Purusha is always equanimous. He's not even getting affected. He doesn't even know that these things are. Does the rope know that there is a snake on top of him? If the rope really knew, rope also would be screaming like us. The rope doesn't know, rope doesn't care. He doesn't even know there is a snake. If you say, why you showed me the snake? He said, what snake? I never showed you any snake. So for us to gain, then what is our sadhana in this? So how do I gain that equanimity? Means what has to come is vairagya has to come. And how will the vairagya come? Viveka will bring vairagya. Because that dispassion which is born out of knowledge only can stay. Otherwise it cannot stay. We get shocks in life. Suddenly we become very dispassionate. We feel, you know, I don't want anything. But that will wear off. That will wear off. That's why that knowledge, anything born out of knowledge will not wear off. And the knowledge has to come with viveka. And what is the viveka? What is the discrimination? That this is an illusion. And nobody is asking you not to enjoy the illusion. Huh? See, people think, you know, when I say it's an illusion and stop running, they say, then should I not work? Should I not earn money? Should I do everything you do? Don't get caught in it. Don't get attached to it. So the way to, even coming lower now, what you have to start doing is this: reduce your dependency on the world. See, children say, now, even I have said that at one point, if I don't see this movie, that means that life is not worth living. But there was one stage there, you see. That should not happen in case of anything or anybody. I cannot live without my blanket. What will I do now if I cannot do this? So dependency on the world should be reduced. If you want to reach this Uttama Purusha, that dependency, when it reduces, we'll stop giving that much reality to it. That's why that's why they give this, the fast and all that we have in our Hindu traditions is to know that I can live without this thing for one day. That is the purpose of that fast. It is not to torture the body, you know. But when you say that, okay, today I will not eat chocolates on Monday or Sunday or whatever. And when you do it once, you think, I could do it. I didn't die without, suppose if chocolate was your, there are people who love chocolates, right? Whatever is your favorite thing, if you say that, I can't live without, you know, I actually, when I was, I thought, I say, I cannot live without my iPad because but maybe that if that iPad was not there, now by grace, by God's grace, I have had the iPad for over 10 years now. And every time it, this thing, I could have, I can afford to buy it. So I've always replaced it. But suppose if I can't, or I can't this thing, then there's no. So even in my own case, I was sort of, you know, because I like to play games on there, especially now in COVID time. So I have my solitaire and all that. But I realized that in the morning I try, and then suppose if I don't get a game, then sometimes I just forget about it throughout the day. And next day I go into my next game, daily challenge, and I'm like, oh, yesterday's, I didn't even do this and I've forgotten. So that's why I know that I'm not that way mentally dependent on it. You must not depend on any, like you must not think that my life is over without this. That, because this world is an illusion, that's why. But we give it reality, then we think I cannot live without this. So the and that is what is meant by conquering the gross world. What do you mean? You can't conquer. It's not like Hitler, you know, going and conquering one country after the other. That is not what is meant here. But if you can say that you can, you're not a slave then, not to the world. Who is dependent? Who is, you know, one person who is dependent is a slave to that thing. So think about it like that. Do I want to be a slave to an iPad, like an inert object? I don't. World is inert. Do I want to be a slave to that? I don't. So that is one sadhana at the gross level. And then at the level of the mind, you or jiva bhava, you must be free from your joys and sorrows. You must remain equanimous. You must be not dependent on the senses, because it is the senses that are bringing in perceptions. And then that is what is giving you joys and sorrows, isn't it? How do you get joy and sorrow? Through the senses, you will see something, hear something, eat something, smell something, and that makes you happy or makes you sad. So that dependency has to be reduced. Like whatever comes in, I will remain equanimous. So then what you have done is you have freed yourself from the clutches of the sense organs. Because when you were so craving to see a movie, you know, then you're dependent on the eyes, dependent on the movie and your senses. So that this is sadhana part to attain this Uttama Purusha. This is at our level, we can do this. It's not something great that we have to do, but this sort of thing. So free yourself at the level of the jiva, at the level of the gross body, free yourself from the world. Freeing yourself from the world is not leaving the world and going somewhere, not just depending on it. You enjoy the world. Nobody's saying no, but don't depend on it. At the level of the jiva, so one step up from the body, free yourself from the sense organs and the organs of action. That's what happens. Perception comes in and immediately we want to act on it. We see something, we want to go by. We you know, hear something, we want to go do it. So that dependency, that intensity should be reduced. Everything should be toned down. That's what is meant by equanimity also. And that is the sadhana here. We have to develop. This is how vairagya will come. Dispassion will come. Okay? Peace will come. Dispassion will bring peace. If you're not getting too excited, that doesn't mean you don't go see the movie. Go see the movie. There's nothing wrong with it. Do you get this point? This is a very important point, huh? Okay. Now, any questions? No. Good. యో మామేవమసం మూఢః జానాతి పురుషోత్తమం స సర్వవిద్ భజతి మాం సర్వభావేన భారత. He who undeluded thus knows me, the supreme Purusha, he all knowing worships me with his whole being, O Bharata. Bharata name is used for Arjun here. Bha light, Ratha revels in. So the one who revels in light, because he's using this. Bharata also means belonging to the Bharat dynasty. That also is a meaning. But here now Bhagwan is actually giving him the way to know this Uttam Purusha, right? Knowledge. So that's why the interpretation of Bharat here should be one who revels in light. Means Arjun, you are intelligent, you have the knowledge, you have the sattvic tendencies. So this is how you should. Mama eva asamudha. Eva means in this way, means in which way, that substratum is beyond the kshara and akshara. That is what we have to know. In this way is in the manner that has been explained from 16 onwards, right? 16 onwards. So in 16, he said there are these two Purushas, Kshara, Akshara. And then this Uttama Purusha is the one who is beyond these two. He is the one who is supporting all the three worlds. So take it whichever way. So in this way, one who comes to, and know means not knowing him as an object, but recognizing our own self to be that Purushottama, that Uttama Purusha, Asammudaha. So this Asammudaha is knowledge without, Sammudaha is delusion, okay? Asammudaha is without any delusion whatsoever, okay? So without any, what is the delusion that we have? We have lots of delusions. One is world is separate from us. That is the first delusion. That's why I keep on repeating. Body is also world. But what I think, no, this is me and this is the, so world is different. Second delusion, world is real. Third delusion, there is happiness in the world. I will become happy when I get things from the world. Fourth delusion, body, I am the body. I'm the gross body. That's why when somebody says anything to my gross body, I feel hurt. Somebody says anything to my mind, I feel hurt. That is what is that? That is considered that aham you consider as, so that's why when aham is considered as the gross body, it is vimudaha. When aham is considered as the jiva, it is mudaha. And amudaha, that is this asammudaha, that is what he's referring to now. The one who knows that final substratum to be that aham. And that aham, okay, another point here, please remember, it's not to be known as there is this aham somewhere else, that aham is me. Because again, if you say it is somewhere else outside, that's not correct. That is delusion also. So that's why this amudaha, that word I told you in earlier verse, and asammudaha, they are synonyms. Like the one who is totally undeluded, is a mudaha. He's not foolish at all. Okay, so this in this way, the one who knows me, and then saha sarva vit bhajati mam. So he will worship me, won't he? Like if you really come to recognize ourselves to be the supreme self, then what happens is those realized masters, they actually then worship the form of the Lord, knowing very well that there is no difference between me and the Lord. So that is what we see in this bhakti, you know, Hanumanji, Mirabai, Kabir Das, Tulsi Das, they worship the Lord in a form, like form, but they knew us, they were us, amudaha. Don't think that they were foolish. They thought, oh, that is God and this is me. No, 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 no. So therefore, once you recognize your oneness, then you will worship the form, because you know that there is no difference between you and the form. They worship me. That's what he's saying. Sir, sarva vid bhajati mam, sarva bhavena. Bhava is emotion. So whatever emotion, and that again we take the support of bhakti. See, in bhakti, it is always told for bhakti people, those who are heart oriented, is to set up a relationship with God. Instead of saying that there is no God, first of all, you say there is a God, and now you have a choice. So when we look at the various, you know, Hanumanji thought himself to be a servant of the Lord. Arjun thought himself to be a friend of the Lord. Sudama was a friend of the Lord. Uddhava was a friend of the Lord. Draupadi was a sister of the Lord. We also have a choice. We can say, he's my brother. One gentleman apparently came to Guruji and said, I think of Ram as my son. That also you're allowed. You can think of the Lord as your son. And then he says, I order my son. I order Ram to do things. It's my son. That's fine. In bhakti, that is allowed. It's very, very valid. Very valid. So Mirabai was, she thought of Bhagwan as her husband. Any relation, friend, whatever relation, that is the Sarva Bhavena. Any relationship you set up with Lord. Once you know the oneness, you can set up any relationship. This is jnana, like knowing it through jnana. Okay. So once you know that, then you can, he says, they worship me in all forms, in any way, and they are allowed to worship me in any way. All right. I'm going to read the last verse. I'll explain a superficial meaning, but honestly speaking, I was looking at my notes, and believe it or not, I have like 6 pages of notes on this one verse. So I thought, oh, geez. So I am going to, but I will continue next time because I was quite tired today. So I didn't want to like go through 6 pages and rush it. So I'll explain that. Like if there's a yajna setting, I can do this verse right away. But I thought, geez, you know, I was counting. And there's like this huge notebook, there's 6 pages. So I don't know. I didn't read. So to do full justice, I will do this in January, but I'm going to read the verse so that when we come meet in January, then we'll go into details. Iti goyhyatamam shastram idamuktam mayanagha etad budhva buddhiman syat kratakratyascha bharata. Thus, this most secret science teaching has been taught by me, O sinless one. Knowing this, a man becomes wise and all his duties are accomplished, O Bharata. So iti guhyatamam. So once again, this guhyatamam, like uttama, it is good, better, best. So there is guhya, guhyatara, and guhyatamam. This is the 3 gradations in this guhyatamam. So guhyatamam is the highest. Okay, guhya, secret. What is secret is how do you get material prosperity? That is guhya. Guhyatara is how you reach the heavens. So heaven, which is a point of return, okay? And guhyatamam, it is the supreme most where you reach a point of no return. And that's why guhyatamam Bhagwan says here, shastram. And this is what I told you. Bhagwan himself is calling this chapter a shastra. Why? Because he has dealt with all the 3 questions which form the basis of Vedanta. The Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, and he has explained that Jiva and Jagat are both superimpositions on me, the substratum. And this is that's why it is a Shastra in itself. That's why I told you, reading 15 chapter, you get the merit of reading the entire Bhagavad Gita, because whatever is explained in different chapters in different ways, he has explained it very concisely, even explained his vibhutis, his manifestations, okay? Shastram and Guhya is secret. Now, why is it a secret? Why is this the supreme secret? So it is a secret because it cannot be known by the senses. One point is the senses cannot see it. So it's a secret. Second point is to tell Arjun that you are very special. See, if I have a secret, do you think I'm going to tell in the whole class? Or am I going to say, you know what, so-and-so, can you please stay after class and let everybody go? And then, so I'm going to tell only a few people whom I think are capable of keeping that secret and not blabbering it somewhere else. Means what? Means I think this person is capable of holding my secret. So I'm going to tell this person. Means that person is qualified. And this is what also is in one meaning of I'm telling you this supreme secret because you're worthy of knowing that secret. The other connotation of secret is that it is so evident to us, because constantly I'm saying I. Constantly, isn't it? I did this, I did that, I know this, I don't. Constantly I'm saying I, but I don't know what that I is really. That's why it is a secret. It's an open secret, but it is not known. Because the aham, I told you, either I think of the aham as the gross body, or I think, or I'm thinking it as of the jiva, and therefore it is a secret. And this is the topmost secret. And it is Shastra, because all three I have explained to you. This is a complete science of Advaita Vedanta, basically. Complete science of Advaita. Idam uktam mayanagham. Uktam, I have told you. Mayan anagha, agha means sin. Sin. Anagha is the name of Arjun that Bhagwan is using here. So agha is papa or sin. And anagha means, oh, sinless one. Means you're very straightforward. You see, all the questions that Arjun has asked, they were very straightforward. They were very genuine. So he says, you are sinless means you're not deluded. That is what sin means, not that you were committing crimes and you're not those ordinary crimes that we talk about, but you are very pure minded, very straightforward. Your questions have been very, very genuine. All that meaning comes in this word anagha, when he's calling him anagha. There's, for females, there is a word anagha, that's a sinless one. Anagha is male and anagha is female. Etat budhva buddhiman syat. So having known this knowledge, like knowing this, a man becomes wise. Becomes wise means he's no longer deluded by anything at all. And no sorrow can shake him. He will never get deluded. He will never come back. This is a very important point. Having reached me, yad gatva na nivartante, never returns. And then kritakrityasya, this is a very important word, kritakritya. This word has two connotations. One is whatever is to be done is done, and whatever is to be achieved is achieved. So it is a state of complete contentment, complete. So, you know, in our normal language, we have been there, done that, don't want to do it again. We say that, right? Been there, done that, don't want to do it again. This kritakritya is that indication of that. Because in our life, no matter how content we are, I think, oh, but I haven't seen Northern Lights. You know, maybe I can see that sometime. Oh, I haven't been to this country. You know, we are very content. We have done a lot of traveling. But then somebody says something and they're like, oh, yeah, that would be nice to see that. That would be nice. This person in Swami Vidyaranya in this Panchadashi, one of the chapters, seven chapter, he has spent like, I think, 50 verses on this one word. That's Vidyaranya you have. So basically what he says is, suppose in our world, no matter how much this person is a world traveler, I think, oh, I don't need to travel the world. Or this person has gained such great heights in job, I don't need to get that. Because I have got the final contentment. I have recognized myself only to be the source of joy, to be the source of happiness. So what is there to go after anything or do anything or achieve anything? Because everything that is done and everything that is achieved only for happiness. Now that happiness only, I am myself a reservoir of that full happiness. I only can give happiness to other people. What am I going to go beg of the world for happiness? That's kritakritya. This is a very important word. Kritakrityascha Bharata. He becomes kritakritya. Done what is to be, he has done what is to be done. He has achieved whatever is there to be achieved. So no matter what anybody else comes and tells him, this is what I achieved. I climbed Mount Everest. No problem. I've gone even beyond Mount Everest. I went and saw Iguazu Falls. No problem. I have seen even better than that. I have done this. I have done better than that. That is the meaning of this verse. But I don't know, there are more details. If there are more details, I will tell you. Are there any questions? Oh, we have to read the, I'm going to complete this chapter right now. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Purushottama Yogo Nama Panchadasho Dhyayah. I'm going to also read the first verse, but I will talk about this verse more. Atha Chaturtho, Atha panchadasho dhyayah urdhva moolam adhashakham ashvattham prahuravyayam chandaunsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavitam. We don't have much time, but we will meet now on January the 10th, that is the Monday in January. And have you received any volunteers for the verses? At least the first two, three, or four or whatever?
Yeah, we have, the first one is taken and then